Are you ready for the word? Turn now to John chapter 15, 1 to 10. And I want to speak to you today from Jesus' teaching on the vine and the branches. Remember, this year we're focusing on understanding and growing in our revelation of what it means to have Christ in us, to literally be one with him, and to have the Lord Jesus by his Spirit living his life through us. And one of the illustrations Jesus used to help us to understand what we have in the new covenant is the image of a vine and branches. And what he says to us in the passage we're about to read is, just like the vine and the branch are one, just like the branch is an extension of the vine, just like the branch receives its life and its ability to be fruitful from its connection to relationship with oneness, with union with the vine, even so in the new covenant, those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we too have been joined to him and he to us, and we're able to live fruitfully, we're able to live productively, we're able to be spiritually fulfilled because we have this unique relationship with Jesus, which God has established for us who believe in him. Christ literally lives in us, lives by us, lives through us, and does his works through us. And so keep that in mind, because Jesus is about to say to us, as he said to his disciples, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Amen? And so he's really speaking about union with him, and that is the promise and the reality of our experience when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we're going to read, and then I'm going to comment. All right, so let's read together, beginning from verse 1. Keep reading all the way to the... Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? A lot of us read that and we get scared. Right? It's worrisome that if a branch doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. But hopefully by the end of this sermon, you'll see that differently. Amen? And you'll realize that Jesus doesn't intend to terrify you. He's really trying to comfort you. All right, so let's keep reading. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you. Say to yourself, neither can I unless I abide in him. Next verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Obviously, Jesus wants us to understand that without him we can do nothing. Let's move on. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. Now, let me pause there and say something. Notice how many times we've seen the words fruit and abide. Fruit and abide. Fruit and abide. So this passage is about fruit bearing, That's the purpose, that's the goal of Jesus, that we would be fruitful, that we would live fruitful, productive, fulfilling lives. How many of you know that's God's purpose? That's God's purpose, that's God's desire for all of us, is that we would what? Live fruitful, productive, and fulfilling lives spiritually. How many of you like that? Amen. So God's purpose is that. And here we find in verse 8 that Jesus says, when we are living fruitful, productive, and fulfilling life spiritually, God is glorified. God is honored. God is pleased. And so what I want you to see here is that this is God's agenda. God wants this to be true of us. So this whole business of living fruitful lives, productive lives, fulfilling lives in Christ, this idea, this vision is God's agenda. So we're not going to have to try to convince him to help us. He came up with the idea. He looks at us and says, you know, this is what I really desire for you. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to live fruitful, say fruitful, productive, and spiritually fulfilling lives. And because he wants that, he is going to get involved to make it happen. Because remember, he already said, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So obviously, you can't do this apart from him. So if this is his agenda, that we live fruitful, fulfilling, productive lives spiritually, and he already says very clearly, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if his will and his purpose is going to be fulfilled, he has to come up with a way to get it done. Because if he's depending upon us, who he already said can do nothing, you get what I'm saying. All right. Say, Father, thank you that living fruitful, productive, and spiritually fulfilling lives is your goal, your purpose, your agenda for me. Verse 9. As the Father loves me, I also have loved you, abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, what are Jesus' commandments? They're not the Ten Commandments. Jesus gave us what he called the new commandment. And he said, here's the new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In John's epistle, the first epistle of John, John says, this is his commandment, that we believe on him and that we love one another. So it's that simple. So when Jesus talks about here keeping my commandments, he's talking about believing on him and loving one another. And he says, if you will believe on me and love one another, you will abide in my love. You get it? All right. So now let's look at some details in what I just read. We've established, as we read, that living fruitful, productive, and spiritually fulfilling lives is God's purpose and is God's agenda. This passage that we just read has a context. And if you don't understand the context, you will misinterpret and misapply some of what Jesus said. For instance, the verse that says that if you don't bear fruit, he, the Father, would take you away, right? And many read this and they become afraid, because many times it's interpreted to mean if a child of God is not bearing fruit, The Father will cut them off and throw them away. They'll lose their salvation and they go to hell. So now that you're saved, you got to make sure you're bearing fruit. Because if you don't bear fruit, one day the Father will come and just say, enough is enough. I disown you. And cast you out of the family. But let's get the context, because the context will help us to understand what is happening here. When is Jesus saying the things that he's saying? What are the circumstances? What are the conditions? Remember, Jesus in John 14 just had the Last Supper. And that was when he said to his disciples, you know, I'm going to be leaving, but don't be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm coming back so that where I am, there you may be also. So he's been with them physically for 3 years. And now he's telling them that in a very short while, in a matter of a day or two, he would be no longer with them physically. He was going to be taken from them violently. He was going to be killed. And you can imagine how they're feeling. They're afraid themselves. They're worried. They're discouraged. They are depressed. They are wondering what life is going to be without him. For 3 years, he had been there physically, meeting their needs, protecting them, blessing them. I mean, and now he's going to be taken away from them. And they are in a state of grief and sadness, similar to what you and I feel today when someone close to us is dying. And that person who is dying has an opportunity to speak to you. And they love you. They know what you're feeling. And their intent is to comfort you, to encourage you, to say, listen, guys, it's not going to be that bad. It's going to be okay. You know, this is the conversation Jesus is having. His disciples, who he loves, they are really, really right now grieving, perhaps depressed, because of the events that are about to unfold. And so he's using this time, that supper, and then right after the supper, as they're going to Jerusalem, he is doing his best to comfort them, to encourage them, to fill them with hope. Are you hearing me? And so everything he says in the passage we read is intended to give hope, to bring encouragement. In fact, we didn't read it, but if you read the whole thing, Jesus said in one place, these things I'm saying to you so that my joy might be in you. His whole intention in the midst of the sadness that they are about to experience is to give them a reason to be joyful. If that is the context, then you know nothing he says to them at this time is intended to make them afraid. He's not at this time trying to add more to their worries. He's trying to take away any reason for being worried or afraid. Do you get that? When you understand that, then you can interpret this passage more correctly. Hallelujah. So now, how does Jesus comfort them? There are basically three things Jesus does. One of the first things he does is in verse 1, and where he says to his disciples, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, a vine and a branch, a tree and its branches. Do you see how close they are? I mean, the branch and the tree are as close can be. They're literally joined together. They're literally one. And so Jesus is saying, you guys, I'm about to leave, and you're concerned that I am going to leave you all by yourself. But let me let you know something. Even though I am not going to be with you physically, I'm going to be closer to you than ever. Oh, you got to hear me. He's comforting them. And he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm not going to be with you physically, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be with you. In fact, I am going to be so close to you, we're going to be as close as the branch and the vine are to one another. I'm going to be in you. You're going to be in me. We're literally going to be one. No longer will I be physically with you, but I am going to be with you in a far greater way. I am actually going to be in you. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place. And then I'm coming back, and I am literally going to dwell in you. In this day, he said, you will know that as I'm in the Father, so you are in me, and I am in you. He's comforting them with this wonderful revelation that I'm not going to be here physically, but guys, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to come into you, and I will live in you, and you will live in me, and we shall never again be separated or apart from one another. Mine. I pray for you. I pray for me. May the Holy Spirit open our eyes. And whenever we're tempted to be afraid or to be discouraged or to think that God is so far away and we're all by ourselves, may the revelation Jesus gave his disciples that night be given to us. May we receive it and may we understand that he is as close to us as the vine is to the branch. And we are as close to him as the branch is to the vine. In fact, we are one with the Lord. When you see Jesus, where do you see him? I hope you see him inside of you. I hope you see him as a vine. I hope you see yourself as the branch that is but an extension of his very own person. He's chosen you to live in you and to manifest and express himself through you. Say to your neighbor, be strengthened, be comforted, be encouraged. The Lord is in you, with you, always. Amen. He says to his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, make disciples. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always. Say always. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night, always in sickness, in health. Always in difficulties, in challenges, in triumphs, always. I'm happy. Say amen. Amen. So that's a promise that we're supposed to embrace. And then he goes on to comfort them by saying to them, not only am I going to be with you. He says, my Father, I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser, the gardener. What does a gardener do? What does a vine dresser do? He cares for the vine. I mean, he cultivates it. Pastor P has a garden at his house. He prizes his garden. He tends to his garden. He looks at it, and if he sees anything that is maybe bringing some harm to his plant or that may kill the plant or prevent the plant, what do? You tend to it. You try to move those things, and you try to create better conditions. You make sure it's getting enough sunlight, it's getting enough water. You cultivate it. You dig the ground. Man, people who are into they love their Because in the church, and I know when Pastor P sees his pepper and his whatever growing, and I think Ben, and they're so proud. Right? Yeah, you're proud. You're honored. That's what Jesus said. The Father is honored when he looks at us and we're fruitful. Spiritually, we are productive. Spiritually, we are fulfilled. Spiritually, the Father is glorified. He's honored because his vineyard is producing so much fruit. It brings glory to the gardener. And so Jesus said, listen to me. One of the reasons that you should be comforted and encouraged even now as I make this transition is not only because I'm going to be close to you, but the Father takes personal interest in your well-being. And he will be actively involved as a gardener is with his plants. He's going to be actively involved in cultivating you, tending to you personally to ensure that you have what you need in order to be fruitful, productive, and fulfilled. Child of God, you should rejoice because not only are you one with Christ, the Heavenly Father himself takes personal interest in you individually. Are you listening to me? And he's committed to helping you become most fulfilled and produce most lavishly and be most fruitful. He's committed because that honors him. He takes no joy. He takes no pleasure. He takes no satisfaction when we struggle spiritually, when we struggle with emotions that cause us to be downcast, discouraged, unmotivated, not functioning at our highest level. And here Jesus encourages us to say, listen, I'm not going to be here physically, but we're going to be real close because I'm going to be in you. And I promise you, the Father is going to take personal interest in you. And then here's the third thing Jesus says to comfort them and to encourage them. He says, by the way, guys, you know how much the Father loves me? Do you know how much the Father loves Jesus? The love for the Father is immeasurable. The love for the Father has no beginning and has no ending. The Father's love for the Son is beyond imagination. It's perfect. It's complete. And Jesus says, I want you to know something. Just as the Father loves me to the same degree that the Father loves me, I love you. Just like the Father's love for me has no beginning, my love for you has no beginning. Just like the Father's love for me has no ending, my love for you has no ending. Just like you cannot measure the Father's love for me, my love for you is immeasurable. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, may we believe as much as we do that the Father loves the Son. May we equally believe that the Father who loves the Son in the manner that he loves the Son, loves us, and that the Son himself loves us to the degree that the Father loves him. So no wonder the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, what can separate us from the love of God? And then it begins to ask all of these questions, tribulations, tests, life, death, all of these things, persecution, all of the things that come against us in this world that threaten us not even our sins, not even our transgressions can separate us from the love of God for us. Oh, God commendeth his love for us, in that when we were yet, before we had done anything good, he gave his son for us. And his son loved us enough to be willing to give his life for you. We never question the father's love for his son. Never question the son's love for you. And so that night, as they were grieving, he comforted them. He comforted them by reminding them, I'm going to be closer than you, with you than you ever, ever imagined. Spiritual things are as real, in fact, more real than physical. And we need to understand that. Are you hearing me? I'm gonna be with you. The Father is going to personally care for you. He will take personal interest in everything concerning you. And I also want to encourage you not to be discouraged or sad because I'm going physically, because I want you guys to know I love you with an everlasting love. And there's just nothing you can do about it. Not even your sins. Not even your worst sins will cause my love for you to be diminished one iota. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Is this a God you want to know? Is this a Savior you want to know? It is his agenda for you to live a fruitful, productive, and spiritually fulfilling life. Why don't you let him? Cooperate with him. Surrender to him in faith. Say to him, have your way. Put your trust in his love for you. Know that his plans for you are for good. Stop resisting his efforts in your life to bless you, to help you, to fulfill you. Now that you know the context, right? You got the context of Jesus' words. Now, when you read the verse that says, the person who doesn't bear fruit, he will take away. How can you even give any credence to the idea that at that time when he's trying to comfort them, he's actually also saying, I love you, but my father, you got to be careful with him because he's very into fruit bearing. And he has his plan for you, and that plan is that you bear fruit. And he has a little patience, but he runs out of patience. And after a while, if you don't bear fruit, he's going to just what? He's going to just kick you out of the family. Wow. Can you imagine saying that to them at that time? Do you think that's the impression he wants them to have of the Father? The Father who he just says loves me and who he just equated his love to for them. Now, the Father loves Jesus in a way that is immeasurable. Jesus loves us to the same degree that the Father loves us. And then the Father would take what Jesus loves to the degree that Jesus loves us and say, you're not bearing fruit. That doesn't fit the context. That's not what Jesus was saying. So here's the good news. The word that is translated take away in the Greek word has four different ways it could have been translated. That same word could have been translated raise up, to pull up, to lift up. Or to take away. Why they chose to put take away there when they could have put lift it up, pulled up or raised up is due to their faulty understanding of the Father's love and their failure to take into account the context. That what should have been there, and some translations I think have it now, amen, that he, the one that is not bearing fruit, the Father lifts up. The Father pulls up. The Father raises up. Now take that and apply it to agriculture. That's what they did. The disciples would have understood that. Because in that day, when they were farming, there are times when a branch may fall to the ground. Or a branch may be positioned under maybe a tree and is no longer getting sunlight. And you know that the vine or the tree needs sunlight because of photosynthesis to create the glucose that the branch needs to reproduce the fruit. Without the sunlight, the chemical reaction that needs to take place that will produce the glucose that the branch needs to reproduce fruit is not present. So if a branch is not bearing fruit, it needs sunlight. And so the Father, who's personally committed, comes and does what? Doesn't cut it up. He repositions it. He wants that. Remember, his agenda is that that branch will bear fruit. So he looks, Pastor P, and he says, okay, it's not getting enough sunlight. Let me lift it up. Let me pull it up. Let me raise it up. Let me reposition it where it can begin to get the light that it needs to start to bear fruit. So contrary to scaring us, Jesus is promising even those of us who at times may find ourselves not bearing fruit. And he's saying, listen, just because right now you are not bearing fruit as you ought, the Father and I love you, and the Father is going to do whatever it takes to reposition you, to lift you up, to pull you up, and to position you once again where you can start bearing fruit, living a fruitful, productive, and spiritually fulfilling life. So hear me. When you look at John 15, 2, that it starts with no fruit, then some fruit, then more fruit, and then later on, much fruit. It's possible there are times when you are not bearing. Life comes, you become discouraged, you become downhearted, you know. The Father doesn't want to leave you there. So Jesus said, he'll come and he'll help you. I remember a number of years ago, I think I've shared this before at Oral Roberts University, man, I arrived in 1977. I began to learn the word of faith, the power of God's word. And man, I was the one praying for folks. I was the one speaking the word. I was the one bearing fruit. And I was very fulfilled. And then something happened. And I allowed a lie from the devil to enter my mind, which I believed. And when that thing came into my mind, it depressed me. And I went from being the one praying for people, encouraging people, speaking the word, where now I had no confidence in my relationship with the Lord. I was discouraged. I was doubting God loved me. I thought he was so angry with me. And so now, I everywhere I could go, if you could pray for me, please pray for me. Up to that time, I had been a straight A student. That year, because I started to worry and become anxious, my performance dropped. I had come to that place in my life where I was still in the branch, a branch in the vine. But I needed now to be lifted up. I needed to be repositioned. I needed light to bring me out of that dark place where once again I could be fruitful. And I'm here today bearing fruit. Say hallelujah. I'm here today living a spiritually fulfilling life. And that was because, first of all, Jesus loves me to the same degree the Father loves him. And secondly, because the Father took a personal interest in me. And while I was going through that, thank God he didn't cut me off. Amen. Thank God he didn't throw me away. Thank God he came and got down to where I was and saw the situation I was in. And what did he do? He pulled me up. He lifted me up. He raised me up and allowed me once again to receive the light that I needed to bring me out of that dark and damp place where once again I could start to be fruitful. Where I could move from no fruit, to more fruit, and hopefully to much fruit. Say hallelujah. Let this word encourage you. Jesus loves you as much as the Father loves him, and the Father takes a personal interest in your spiritual well-being. So no matter where you are today, lift up your eyes and allow the Father to care for you. And then there's another word. There it is. Thank you for putting it up there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Prunes. Some translations say he purges. That word by itself gets you afraid. Amen? Whoa! You mean, okay, now that I think I'm bearing fruit, I now should expect Jesus to come with the scissors. Jesus is coming with the cutlass. Jesus is coming because he wants to bear fruit. He's coming to cut on me. Cause me pain. Take something dear from me. Put me through some hard tests. That makes me afraid to be fruitful. Because if the more fruitful I am, the more I susceptible I am to be one of those that he's going to be cutting on. If I were to give you, if you were to give me a dollar for every time I've heard a sermon preached using that word prune and purge to suggest that one of the things that Jesus does that the Father does and the Father enjoys doing is lopping me off or cutting me in order to, I will be a millionaire. But here's the good news. Keep context. All right? Guess what? That word translated prune is also translated clean. So why didn't put clean? Why did they put purge? I don't know, but it has caused a lot of people to be confused about the nature of the Father and what spiritual growth entails. So really, guys, that passage you read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father does what? He lifts up, repositions it so that it can continue to receive the light it needs so it can start growing again. And every branch that is actually bearing fruit, he cleans that it may bear more fruit. How do I know it should be clean? Go to the next verse. Go to verse 3, please. You are already clean. I mean, it's right there. The word can mean clean, and right there in verse 3, it's clear that Jesus is talking about the Father cleaning us. And then he says, you are already clean through the word. In other words, the word is the instrument that the Father uses to clean us. Now, again, they would have understood, because one of the things that would happen that would limit the fruitfulness of the vine or branch is that it could accumulate dirt. And if it got dirt on it and mud on it, what happens? The dirt and mud will prevent it from receiving the light. And so again, it will not be fruitful, because now it's not because it's in the bad position, but because it is being hindered by all this stuff that is preventing the light that it needs from getting on the inside of it. And so what does the Father do? He doesn't come and cut, and he comes and he cleans. He takes away the things that are hindering the branch from receiving the light that it needs to grow, or from receiving the water it needs to grow. He takes away those things, and the primary instrument that he uses is the word. Now, amazingly, the word is called water. And the word is also called light. Are you hearing me? Amen. So this, sometimes we're not growing because we got some stuff that we've allowed to get on us. Some stuff we've allowed to get into our thoughts. Some stuff we allow to get into our hearts and our attitudes. Stuff like unbelief. Stuff like unforgiveness. Stuff like wrong attitude towards certain things, a certain circumstances, a certain people. We allow the stuff like selfishness or bitterness to get in. Are you hearing me? Or we allow the stuff of sin to just get into our hearts and minds, and we're walking in that. When that happens, we have become polluted, covered by dirt that is preventing the light of the word to shine in our hearts and minds so that we can continue to grow. So the Father comes and he brings the word. I hope today some of you are hearing the word. And you who are hearing the word, you know what the Father is doing right now? He's cleaning. He's using the word to wash your mind. He's using the word to take out some of those ideas that are preventing you from growth. He's using the word so you can stop being sorry for yourself. He's using the word to take away some doubt and unbelief. He's using the word to take away some of those feelings of not being loved or not being forsaken. All of those wrong thoughts and ideas, we pick these things up from the world. We pick these things up from our associations. We pick these things up from the lies the devil puts into our minds, and we allow them to take root or to sit in us and sit on us. And then we're not growing anymore. And the Father brings the word and uses the word to start to clean away, take away, wash away all of those things. So once again, the light of the word, the light can shine in our hearts, revealing the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And we are able to see Jesus more and more clearly. And as we see him, we start to get transformed into his image more and more. Come on, raise your hand and say, thank you, Father, for lifting me up when I need to be lifted up. Thank you for using the word to clean me and wash away the filth that hinders my growth and my fruitfulness and my fulfillment in Jesus' name. Say hallelujah. So what I've done today, and you're going to have to come next week for part two. Okay? Because what I've done today is I've given you the context for now looking at his instructions to us, what he says now, abide. Because you see, it's about fruitfulness. That's the goal. But the way, the means, is to abide. And so next week, Lord willing, I'll be here and you will be here. Okay, I know some of you come once a month. But you got to understand how critical the word is. Amen? How critical the word is. The word is key. Later on, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know, just like the light in the vine needs the water and the light, it works with water and light to be fruitful. The life of Christ in you works with the water of the word and the light of the word to reproduce fruit in you. It's not enough just to have his light. We need the water. We need the light of the word. So if you're really, really going to live fulfilling lives, fruitful lives, you've got You've got to pay attention. You've got to allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly. We'll talk more about that next week. Are you going to come?
Yes.
Just a few of you planning to come, huh? The rest of you will come 1 month from now. No, you're supposed to be here every week. At what time? Yeah, a little bit before 10, but many of us are coming 10:30, 10:40. So I'll see you next week, same time. Well, I shouldn't say same time, because if it's the same time, you all will come. Before 10 or by 10 next week here. But seriously, come and bring someone. There's somebody you know in your family or in your circles who need to understand how much God loves them and need to understand how to abide so they can truly be fruitful and be fulfilled. You promise me you'll make an effort to come and bring, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, before I end, there's no way you can be a branch in Christ until you receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. It's important. One of the things that is critical, and this is where the analogy of the vine and the branch breaks down. In the analogy of the vine and the branch, there's no free will. There's no choice. But we are created in the image of God, and our wills and our choices are always a factor. So Christ offers us life, eternal life. He offers to be the vine that supplies the branch with everything it needs. But you've got to have, you're going to have to make a choice to receive him as your Savior or not. And it takes humility, because you've got to be willing to admit, apart from you, Jesus, I can do nothing that is spiritually of value to God. I mean, there are a lot of things you can do without Jesus. You can sin without Jesus. In fact, you're very proficient at that. Right? You have your PhD. You have great expertise in sinning without Jesus. So when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, he is talking about, apart from me, you can do nothing that has spiritual value to God. All right? So if you want your life to have spiritual value to God, then you have to have this union, this connection with Jesus Christ. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one of the reasons God brought you here today is to give you this opportunity to choose Christ. He has chosen you. Now will you choose him? You know, my wife and I got married many years ago. The preacher asked, will you take this woman to be your wife? I said, do you take this woman? I said, I do. Then the preacher asked her, do you take this man? And she said, I do. It was important. If I was the only one who said I do, and if it was her time to say I do, there was silence. The preacher would not have pronounced us man and wife. That transaction would never have been completed. I needed to say I do. She needed to say I do. Concerning you, Jesus has said I do. But have you responded? Have you said to him also, I do? Bow your heads. Father, I pray right now that every person in this place and those who are watching online who have heard this word and who have not yet responded to your love by saying, I will, I do, receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I pray right now that you will give them the grace, help them to make that decision that will change their lives forever. I pray in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to ask all of us to pray, but I know there may be someone here and somebody watching who really needs to do this because they've never really done it, made Jesus Savior and Lord. And so they're not branches in the vine yet, but now we're going to help them make the decision that would change their destiny forever. I'm going to ask you all to pray this prayer aloud with me, but I'm going to ask those of you who are making this decision for the first time, so pray this from your heart because Christ is listening. Say, Father God, I thank you for the reality of your love for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your laws. And I know I'm under judgment. But today, I heard about your love and I heard about the Savior. I believe the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he did die for the sins of the world. Today, Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I put my trust in you, and I say I do, and I say I will to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, I mean, it has to come from your heart. Words by themselves are not enough. But if those words came from your heart and you were truly saying to Jesus, I put my trust in you as my Savior and Lord, I want you to know that prayer was heard. And on the basis of his word, your sins are forgiven. And on the basis of his word, he has come to live inside of you, and you have become a branch in the vine. I pray that for the rest of your life, you will grow to know him and love him and become very fruitful for his glory. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with us right now, after the service, I'm going to be here. I'm going to ask you to please come, because I want to talk to you, pray with you further, and give you some information to help you grow. Now, there's some of you also who are here and you don't have a church home. You're looking for a church to belong, and you need pastors, and you want us to be your pastors. You have to make that known. There's a process by which you become a member of the church. You're free to attend, but there's a process by which you become officially a member of this church. If you desire to be a member of this church and you want us to show you the process, would you please raise your hand, because we would like to give that information to you. Just raise your hand and say, Bishop, yes, I'm not yet a member, but I desire to be a member. Okay, praise God. So anyone who desires membership, talk to me right after the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's give God thanks.